Hey, everybody, I'm Adam Schell, the pastor at Melbourne Heights, and welcome to our sermon podcast. In this episode of our podcast, we're continuing on in our sermon series called Before You Give Up. And in this episode, we're talking about something that we all face sometimes when we reach that point in life where we're ready to throw our hands up and quit. When we reach the point where we're ready to give up, we also reach a point where we can be in danger of compromising our character and doing something that we would never dream of doing, like lying or cheating or stealing or hurting somebody else. So in this week's episode, we're going to be talking about what we can do to keep from compromising our character when we're ready to quit. So let's get right into this episode's sermon. So right now at Melbourne Heights, we are in the middle of a series of sermons that we're calling Before You Give Up. And throughout the series, we're talking about things that we all need to learn to help us keep going when we're ready to quit. And this is important because there are definitely times in all of our lives where we reach that point, where we reach that point where we're ready to give up. Now, you may have felt that way. You may have been ready to give up when your doctor told you that the cancer had spread. Or you may have been ready to give up one day when your boss was acting like a complete and total jerk, so you were ready to put in your 2 weeks' notice. You may have been ready to give up when your marriage went through a rocky patch and your spouse threatened to walk out the doors. Or you may have been ready to give up one day when you finished up at the gym and every muscle in your body ached, so you thought about canceling your membership. You may be ready to give up right now because you're in debt up to your eyeballs, so you're thinking about filing for bankruptcy. And that list, it can go on and on and on. But the point is that we've all had times when we've been ready to give up. We have. We've all had times when we've been ready to give up. And because we've all had times when we've been ready to give up, we have to learn how we can keep going when we're ready to quit. So that's what we're talking about all through this series. And to help us learn these lessons, to help us learn what we need to learn so that we can keep going when we're ready to quit, every week during the series, we're taking a closer look at the life of a man named Joseph. Now, we find Joseph's story in the book of Genesis. And as we've already seen over the last few weeks, Joseph's life is filled with circumstances and events that happen that would cause anyone to want to give up. They would make anybody want to quit. But Joseph never does. So there is a lot that we can learn from Joseph. But over the last couple of weeks, we've already learned a lot about Joseph. Like, over the last few weeks, we've learned that Joseph was one of Jacob's 12 sons. So Joseph has 11 brothers. And as you can imagine, that means that there was a lot of sibling rivalry and those sorts of things. But we also learned that even though he had 11 brothers, Joseph was absolutely his father's favorite son. Joseph's father, Jacob, absolutely dotes on Joseph. So while Joseph's brothers are out working in the fields every day, Joseph gets to lounge around the house. And while Joseph's brothers are wearing hand-me-down clothes, Joseph's dad gives him a handmade multicolored coat with embroidered sleeves. When Joseph's brothers have to sleep out in the bunkhouse, he gets his own private bedroom. There is no doubt that Joseph is his father's favorite son. And we've learned that, unsurprisingly, that fact doesn't sit real well with Joseph's brothers. As a matter of fact, it makes Joseph's brothers hate him. So one day, when Jacob sends Joseph out in the fields to check on his brothers and to check on the family's flocks, Joseph's brothers' hatred for him boils over. And in Genesis 37, we're told what they do to him. In Genesis 37, we're told, when Joseph reached his brothers, they stripped off Joseph's long robe. They took him and they threw him into a cistern, an empty cistern with no water in it. When they sat down to eat, they looked up and they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with camels carrying sweet resin, medicinal resin, and fragrant resin on their way down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What do we gain if we kill our brother and then we hide his blood? Come on, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let's not harm him because he's our brother. He's family." And his brothers agreed. So Joseph's brothers, they sell him as a slave. And when you're sold as a slave, that'd be enough to make anybody want to give up. It'd be enough to make anybody want to quit. But that's not anywhere close to the end of Joseph's story. So the part of Joseph's story that I wanted to take a closer look at today is what happens after he has been sold to these slave traders. So if you've got a Bible close by, let me encourage you to grab it and turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. We're going to start reading in verse 1 and see what happens to Joseph. All right, this is what it says. It says, when Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, Potiphar, this Pharaoh's chief officer, the commander of the royal guard and an Egyptian, purchased him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man and served in his Egyptian master's household. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made everything he did successful. Potiphar thought highly of Joseph, and Joseph became his assistant. He appointed Joseph head of his household and put everything that he had under Joseph's supervision. From the time that he appointed Joseph head of his household and everything that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's household because of Joseph. The Lord blessed everything that he had, both in the household and in the field. So he handed over everything that he had to Joseph, and he didn't pay attention to anything except the food that he ate. All right, so in the passage we just read, we've heard that after Joseph's brother sold him to these slave traders, that Joseph is taken down to Egypt, where he's put on the auction block. And when he's on the auction block, he is sold to a man named Potiphar. And Potiphar just so happens to be the commander of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt's royal guard. Now, what this means is that Joseph becomes a slave in a pretty prominent household. So there are far worse places that Joseph could have ended up. But never forget the fact that Joseph is still a slave. Yes, he may have been a slave in a prestigious household, but Joseph still wasn't allowed to leave that household. Joseph couldn't go strolling down the streets of Cairo. Joseph couldn't go out and go sightseeing at the Great Pyramids. Joseph couldn't go and dip his toes in the Nile River. Joseph couldn't really do anything that he wanted to do because Joseph was a slave. So Joseph had to do what his master told him to do. Now, if most of us found ourselves in that kind of situation, we'd be ready to give up. We'd be ready to quit. If we found ourselves in a situation where we didn't have any freedom, where we didn't really get to enjoy our lives at all, we'd be ready to give up. So we wouldn't want to listen to what our master told us to do. We wouldn't care if our master's household was successful or if it failed. And we wouldn't really do anything to help the person who held our lives in his hands. And when you reach that point, when you reach the point where you're ready to quit, you may also be willing to compromise your character. That's what we're going to talk about today. But when you reach that point where you're ready to quit, you also reach a point where you might be willing to compromise your character. And this is actually something that we see play out in one of the most famous stories, one of the most well-known stories in the Old Testament. And this one doesn't involve Joseph at all, but it's worth digging deeper into today. So in this story, we're going to find somebody who reaches a point where they're ready to quit, and they also are willing to compromise their character. We find this story in 2 Samuel chapter 11, and it begins by telling us this. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. Now, that verse that was just up on the screen, it's 25 words long. Trust me, I counted. 25 words long. But those 25 words, they tell us a whole lot. So they start out by telling us that during the time of year when the kings go off to war, which is a really weird expression and I don't fully understand it, but during the time of year when the kings go off to war, David, who is the king of Israel, doesn't go off to war. Instead, David, who is the king of Israel, who is supposed to go off to war, sends Joab, who is not the king of Israel, out to lead David's armies. Now, the Bible doesn't explicitly tell us why it is that David doesn't want to go off to war this particular year, but it's pretty safe for us to assume that David is just sick and tired of going off to war, because David has been involved in one war or another for a long, long time. David's been involved in one war or another since he fought with Goliath when he was just a little kid. Because after he finished that battle, it wasn't that long before he became a part of Saul, the first king of Israel's army. So David fought under Saul. And according to legend, according to tradition, David was praised for killing up to 10,000 men while he was serving in Saul's army. And because of that, because David became this famous soldier, Saul, the first king of Israel, becomes jealous of David. So David and Saul start a war with each other that lasts for a few years. And even after David manages to defeat Saul and he takes his place on the throne of Israel, David is still constantly having to fight wars against Israel's enemies, as well as against enemies who want to take his place on Israel's throne. So David has been fighting war after war after war after war for years of his life. And it seems like he's just sick and tired of going off to war. So David reaches this point where he is ready to give up on his kingly responsibilities. He's ready to quit on his kingly duties. And remember what I told you just a minute ago. When you reach a point where you're ready to give up, you also reach a point where you may be willing to compromise your character. And that's exactly what David is going to do. And we'll see just how David compromises his character as we keep reading in 2 Samuel. So as we keep reading in 2 Samuel, we're going to hear what it is that David does. Right? This time we're going to pick up in verse 2, where we're told, "One evening, David got up from his couch and was pacing back and forth on the road of the on the roof of the palace. From the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. David sent someone and inquired about the woman. The report came back, 'Isn't this Eliam's daughter, Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' So David sent messengers to take her. When she came to him, he had sex with her." Now, the book of 1 Samuel, it alludes to the fact that David is a man after God's own heart. That's not the kind of man that David sounds like in this passage. In this passage, David sounds like the kind of person who doesn't know how to control his own hormones. So because David has reached this point where he's ready to give up on his kingly responsibilities, because he's reached this point where he's ready to quit, David is willing to do something to compromise his character, something that he never ordinarily would have done, something that he never would have imagined he would even be capable of doing. So David sleeps with Bathsheba, another man's wife. And the sad thing is that when you compromise your character one time, there's really no depths to how low you may go as you continue to compromise your character. Because as bad as it is that David sleeps with Bathsheba, as bad as it is that he sleeps with another man's wife, the story's going to get a whole lot worse as we continue exploring everything that David does. So let's continue. Let's see what else happens in this story. This time we're going to pick up in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 5, which tells us this. "The woman, Bathsheba, conceived, and she sent word to David, 'I'm pregnant,' she said." So not only has David slept with Bathsheba, another man's wife, David also got her pregnant. Now, this is one of those turning points inside of the story where it really feels like David should do the right thing, where it feels like David should come clean, he should confess, he should admit what he's done, and he should ask for forgiveness. But David's already compromised his character once. So it shouldn't be surprising to us that he's willing to compromise his character a second time by trying to cover up his affair. And how does David go about trying to cover up his affair? Well, David sends word out to Joab. And remember, Joab is the commander of Israel's armies. So David sends word out to Joab, and he says, "Joab, I want you to send Uriah the Hittite back home." Now, what David is hoping will happen here is that when Uriah comes back home, that Uriah will sleep with his own wife, Bathsheba, so that it will look like Uriah is the one who got her pregnant instead of looking like someone else got her pregnant. But Uriah, he won't do it. Uriah doesn't go along with this little plan. Uriah, when he comes back to Israel, he refuses to sleep with his wife. As a matter of fact, Uriah refuses to even sleep in the same house that his wife is in. He pitches a tent and sets up outside of the house. And he does that because Uriah hasn't compromised his character. Uriah knows that he's a soldier, and he knows this is the time of year where he is supposed to be off at war with his fellow soldiers. So Uriah is not going to sleep with his wife while everyone else, all of his fellow soldiers, are engaging in battle. So again, we reach another turning point in the story where it feels like David now absolutely has to do the right thing. He needs to sit down with Uriah. He needs to tell him everything that he's done. He needs to confess and ask for forgiveness. David's already compromised his character a couple of times. So he's going to do it again. And this time, David is going to do the most despicable thing that he ever does in his entire life. And we'll read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 14 and following, where we're told, "The next morning, David wrote a letter to Joab, and he sent it with Uriah. He wrote in the letter, 'Place Uriah at the front of the fiercest battle, and then pull back from him so that he will be struck down and die.'" So as Joab was attacking the city, he put Uriah in the place where he knew there were the strongest warriors. When the city's soldiers came out and they attacked Joab, some of the people from David's army fell. Uriah the Hittite was also killed. David had Uriah killed to cover up his affair. But it all started. This whole series of events begins when David reaches a point where he wants to give up his kingly responsibilities, where David wants to quit doing the things that kings are supposed to do. And because he reached that point, David was willing to compromise his character. And he sunk to depths that none of us would ever think we could possibly sink to. But we can. When we find ourselves in these situations where we're ready to give up, we can compromise our character. We can do things that we would never imagine we're capable of doing. So how do we avoid that? How do we avoid compromising our characters when we reach a point where we want to quit? Well, obviously, we can't look at David's story to find any answers, except for maybe how not to live our lives. So if we want to understand how we can keep from compromising our character when we reach a point where we want to quit, we need to look at someone else's story. We need to look at the story of someone who faces these same kind of temptations but doesn't give in to them. Someone who was able to keep his character consistent even when he is ready to quit. And that's going to bring us back to the story of Joseph. Because remember, Joseph has been sold into slavery. He's been sold into slavery, so he's reached a point that where anyone would want to give up. So Joseph reaches this point where, without a doubt, he is going to be tempted to compromise his character. And if you'll turn back to Genesis 39 with me, I'll show you how Joseph was tempted to compromise his character. So this time I want to look at Genesis 39, verse 7, and then we're going to skip down to verse 10. But this is what it says. It says, "Sometime later, his master's wife became attracted to Joseph and said, 'Sleep with me.' Every single day she tried to convince him, but he wouldn't agree to sleep with her or even be with her." So what is it that Joseph was tempted to do after he was sold as a slave to Potiphar? Well, Joseph was tempted to sleep with Potiphar's wife. And apparently he had plenty of opportunities to give into this temptation, because remember what we just read in verse 10. It says, every single day Potiphar's wife went to Joseph and tried to convince him to sleep with her. But even if being consistently tempted every single day wasn't enough to make Joseph want to give into this temptation, there were also a million different ways that Joseph could rationalize doing this. I mean, Joseph could have sat there and he could have said in his head, well, Potiphar is my master and this is my master's wife. If I'm supposed to obey everything my master tells me to do, then I'm also supposed to obey whatever my master's wife tells me to do. So I'm really just doing what I'm supposed to do as a slave. Or Joseph could have rationalized and he could have said to himself, you know what? Everybody else in my life up to this point has betrayed me. They've turned their backs on me. They've abandoned me. So it sure would be nice if I felt like somebody in this world appreciated me and wanted to have something to do with me. Or Joseph could have tried to rationalize his decision by saying, if I sleep with Potiphar's wife, it's going to give me a little bit more stability in my life, even though I'm a slave. Because if Potiphar ever makes the decision that he wants to sell me again, you better believe his wife's going to step in and say, don't let that happen. So Joseph had a million different ways he could have rationalized giving into temptation. Joseph had temptation following him every single day, but he never gives in to it. And because he never gives in to this temptation, Joseph teaches us an important lesson that we all need to learn whenever we reach that point where we want to quit. So before you give up, make sure that you don't do something dumb just because you're feeling desperate. When you reach a point where you're ready to give up, make sure you don't do something dumb just because you're feeling desperate. David does something dumb when he's feeling desperate. Joseph doesn't. But how do you do that? I mean, because it's really easy to put those words up onto the screen. It's really easy to say don't do something dumb when you're feeling desperate, but how do you actually keep from doing something dumb? Well, Joseph, again, helps us answer this question when we look at the way that he responds to Potiphar's wife when she comes to him trying to convince Joseph to sleep with her. So as we look at his response, we find it in Genesis 39, verses 8 and 9. This is what Joseph says. He refused and said to his master's wife, "With me here, my master doesn't pay attention to anything in his household. He puts everything he has under my supervision. No one is greater than I am in this household, and he hasn't denied me anything except you, since you are his wife. How could I do this terrible thing and sin against God?" It's that last sentence that shows us how we, as followers of Jesus, can keep from doing dumb things even when we're feeling desperate. Joseph said, "How could I do this terrible thing and sin against God?" Now, even when Joseph reaches a point where he has to feel like giving up, that statement shows us that he hasn't given up on God and the commitment that Joseph made to God. Now here's what we need to realize. We need to realize that when we make a commitment, when we commit our lives to following God, that commitment doesn't change just because our circumstances do. We don't get to pull back and say, "Well, listen, God, I have no problem following you when everything is easy in life, but when things get bumpy, when life gets hard, when I reach this point where I want to quit, God, I'm putting you to the side. I don't want to do what you call me to do. I don't want to be who you want me to be anymore. I'm putting you on the side. I'm not remaining committed to you." No, when you commit yourself to following God, you're committing to following God no matter what life may bring, no matter what the world may throw at you. David forgot that in his story. This person who's described as being a man after God's own heart forgot that when he committed to follow God, that he committed to follow God no matter what. So David compromised his character time after time after time. But Joseph didn't. Joseph remembered the commitment that he made to follow God no matter what life may throw at him. And because of that, when he reached a point where he had the possibility, the opportunity to compromise his character, Joseph didn't do it because Joseph remembered who God made him to be, what God wanted him to do. So when you reach that point in your life where you're ready to quit, when you reach that point where you're ready to give up, I can tell you that when that happens, you're going to have the opportunity to compromise your character. It's going to come up somehow, some way. When you're ready to quit your job because your boss is being a jerk, there's going to be possibilities that you can do something that will compromise your character. You may decide that, hey, this company has stolen time from me, so I'm going to steal stuff from my company before I go. Or my boss has been acting like a big jerk to me in person, so I'm going to act like a big jerk and say bad things about my boss online on social media behind their back. When you reach a point in your marriage where you're going through a rocky patch, and if your spouse threatens to walk out the door, you may be tempted to compromise your character the same way that David and Joseph were, by having an affair. When you reach a point where things are going on with your health and you're ready to give up and not keep moving forward, you may be willing to compromise your character and say things and do things that you never would have imagined you would do when you were healthy. But when you reach that point, you're going to have opportunities to compromise your character. So we all need to remember the lesson that we learned from Joseph. We need to be able to look at Joseph's life and remember that no matter what happens, we have to cling to our commitment to God. We have to remember who God made us to be. We have to remember what it is that God wants us to do. And we have to do the best that we can to live our lives the way that God wants us to. And if we do that, if we remember who we are, if we remember who God wants us to be, if we try to do the things that God wants us to do, you'll find that it's a lot easier to avoid compromising your character when you're ready to quit. You'll also find that when you remember who you are and what God made you to do, it's also easier to just keep going in general and not give up. Let's pray together. God, as we come to you in this time of prayer, you know that there are times in all of our lives where we reach a point where we're ready to quit. And because of that, God, you also know that there are times when we will all be tempted to compromise our character and do things that we would never do. So God, when we reach those points in our lives, we pray that you help us to remember who you are, who you made us to be, what you made us to do. Help us cling to our faith in you, God, and hold on for dear life. Because God, when we get desperate, we do things that are dumb. We do things that we would never imagine ourselves doing. We hurt people in ways that we could never imagine hurting other people. So God, help us. Help us to cling to you. Keep putting your vision for our lives, your calling in our lives in front of us, God. Remind us what it is that you want us to be. Remind us who it is that we can be through you. God, help us live our lives every day the way that you want us to, no matter what temptations we face, no matter how badly we want to quit. Help us. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, hey, it's Adam again, and I just want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of our sermon podcast. And I hope that this episode has helped you learn what you can do to keep from compromising your character when you reach a point where you're ready to quit. When you reach that point, when you're in danger of compromising your character, you need to cling to your faith. You need to remember who God made you to be. You need to remember what it is that God wants you to do. And then do everything that you can to be the person that God wants you to be. Do everything you can to live the life that God wants you to live. Well, that's going to do it for this episode's sermon, but I want to invite you to come back and join us next week when our next episode drops. As always, if you subscribe to our podcast, that episode will be sent straight to your favorite podcasting app, or you can come and worship with us live on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on our church website at mhbclouisville.com/live. We'd love to have you come and join us. Well, until next time, I hope that you have a great week. I will be praying for you, and we'll see you back here soon for another Sermon Podcast.